This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
By the way, we got a lot of emails from people who were either really happy with the Adam Wainwright interview or very upset with the Adam Wainwright interview. So I do want to address that, and we'll mix in some other emails. You can always email the pod, therico@gmail.com. Samuel Lowenthal writes, "Met killers, why? I listened to the first 5 minutes of the Adam Wainwright interview, and then I turned it off, and I'm vowing to not listen to any more of those Met killer interviews. And I've got to ask the question, why? Why did you think that was a good idea? What am I, as a Mets fan, getting out of this, of all places, on the sacred Rico Bronya? I don't want to hear how good it felt for Adam Wainwright, the silent Shea Stadium, nor do I need to hear how great or not great Mets fans are, or anything else he says. All this is doing is bringing back awful memories, like soothing my crying son who didn't want to believe they lost the game. Why would I want to hear from Chase Utley or Chipper Jones? Or any of these guys who tortured the Mets for years? The whole premise of doing this, and on the Rico of all places, is beyond my understanding. It's one thing to do the rewatch of a painful loss. You'll dissect the strategy inning to inning. There's a ton to talk about, notwithstanding the pain of reliving the loss. But the idea of interviewing Met killers is one I hope you abandon quickly." I do appreciate that.
Dude,
I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate Sam saying that is the worst idea ever, and I will never listen to it. I do.
My favorite, though, from him is, what made you think this was a good idea? It's like I'm talking to my wife. Like, why did you do that? What made you think that this was a great thought process?
But I'm going to tell you my thought. And you don't have to agree with it, Sam. I totally respect that. My thought is therapy, that this was therapy. And it felt like that for me. You know, I don't like Adam Wainwright. You know, what happened that night, and I obviously the rewatch is coming up. It's our very next episode on Rico Bronya. So if you haven't watched Game 7 of the 06 NLCS, you can, you should, you don't have to. You could still listen to our pod that's going to drop this weekend. But we are going to go through what Sam said, the strategy, just a lot of things about it, especially because that's a game I never watched. I was there. So for me, watching it, and Joe Balk and Tim McCarver and even Luis Gonzalez, who, if you haven't heard, was the third man in that. Like, that was a brand new experience for me. I'd never seen that. But I don't like Adam Wainwright. And I thought talking to him and letting out my own frustration and telling him certain things, not just the go F yourself at the beginning, but even saying, "Hey, remember when you struck out Jose Valentin in game 5? BS, wasn't a strike." And he seemed a little perturbed by that, by the way. His retort was, "Tom Glavine got a lot of strikes." I'm like, you know what? Fuck that guy too. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. I was about to say that to him, but I was like, he's not going to understand that. And then I'm going to have to explain why I hate Tom Glavine as well, even though he's our guy who was getting, you know, strikes 6 inches off the plate. But what? Actually, Wainwright's from Georgia. He certainly knows why we don't like Tom Glavine. But I thought therapeutic. Now, you don't have to think that, Sam. I respect that. The beautiful thing about the pod is when you see the Met Killer series, don't listen to it. Who will we have next? I don't know. There's a lot of options. I can tell you that right now.
And listen, I honestly, you said you don't have to listen to Adam Wainwright. You don't have to listen to, you don't have to watch the playback. But I'll tell you this much. I would listen to it just because in the Adam Wainwright interview, you talk about like some of the bigger moments in that game 7, and then to rewatch it, it's kind of crazy the process that some things go through. And again, we'll get into it more when we do the actual rewatch episode. But I watched the game after listening to that Adam Wainwright interview, and it may it was just it pissed me off that much more. So indeed. maybe you don't do it.
Jeff Cohen has more suggestions. He says, I've always hated this guy from Philly. You got to get Pat Burrell on. He always had a knack for killing the Mets. Yes, Pat Burrell was an absolute Met killer. I mean, that is no question. Trust me. He was a killer. His overall, I don't even know what they are, but it seems like he hit about 57 home runs against the Mets. Ryan Fennell writes, Evan, I love the Wainwright Killers pod. He was a great interview, and I really enjoyed the insight he offered on his strategy in the Beltran at-bat, and also the inspiring story to stay in the big leagues. Keep doing that. Luckily for you, there's no shortage of Met killers. That is unfortunately the case. Jim writes, gentlemen, I just got done listening to Adam the Redneck's interview, and it was enjoyable. I enjoy hearing some of his perspective. I love how he insults him, and then he's like, yeah, but he was good. A future Met killer should be John Rocker. Thanks. Believe it or not, I actually interviewed John Rocker many years ago in person when I was working at Sirius Radio, and he didn't like me very much. It did not go. It did not go very well.
Did you tell him to go fuck himself?
I don't think I ever did. I think I came pretty close, and he had a very attractive girl with him at the time. I don't know if he thought I was hitting on her or something like that. I swear to God, I wasn't. Like, well, I'm going to steal John Rocker's girl. Like, is that really a thing? Though that would be awesome. Back in the day, that would have been like the greatest feather in my cap. SF New York writes, thanks. What an amazingly great interview that was. Did a great job. But Adam has one of those memories where everything is still fresh for him. And those kind of people will always be great interviews. He is right. What I was so curious about, because I find it fascinating sometimes with Tiki when I ask him, do you remember this from your NFL career? And there's certain things like, yes, he remembers. Then there's certain things he's like, he has no idea. He doesn't remember it. Now, Wainwright's career is obviously more recent. He literally just retired. But hearing him break down the Victor Diaz at-bat, like that one was actually most fascinating to me because Adam Wainwright made his major league debut against the Mets, as we talked about, in 2005. And I don't remember this because Adam Wainwright making his major league debut did not jump out at me late in the 2005 season. But I look back at it, I had a scorecard of it, and I see that Victor Diaz hit a home run off of him. So I knew that. And asking Adam and having him break down that whole inning, including Victor Diaz, who he had faced in the minor leagues, was kind of great. I enjoyed that. Gary Waldman also liked the Adam Wainwright interview. Zach Zoman Freed, let's see, did he like it? Yeah, he likes it. Okay, good. So there's a few people that liked it, other than that guy who said he will never, ever listen again. There was one letter I got, and I think I posted it on social media because it was so over the top with anger over the Adam Wainwright interview that it really cracked me up, that I felt the need that I had to put it out on social media because it made me laugh. And I'm pulling it up right now so I can read it to all of you. Here it is. Just horrible and awful. You humanized him. And that is, from this Met fan's perspective, disgraceful. They are killers. They are mafia hitmen. There are no redeeming qualities. What's next? Are we going to find out that Chase Utley is a good dancer and is kind to small children? Or that Pete Rose helps little old ladies across the street? No, no, no. I think that's my favorite one. I think that's my favorite discussion point on it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
But there may be another Met Killer series. I warn you. I warn you. And yes, there are many, many options. I think the guy I probably hate the most, if I really thought about it. You know, Chipper Jones is obviously the most legendary Met Killer. Derek Jeter was an incredible Met Killer. I was talking to Beningo the other day, and he told me, he's like, bro, the number one Met Killer is Jeter. And he's not wrong. When you think about the 2000 World Series and then just everything he did to the Mets over the years. But I think the guy I hate the most is Clemens. I do. I think that, you know, you talk about humanizing guys, and Adam Wainwright was a good interview. There's no doubt. He does come across like a good dude. And it's easy to walk away and say, okay, he stuck it to me, but I like him. Roger Clemens, just the thought of him makes me sick. Like, he is a vile person. He threw a freaking bat at Mike Piazza. I can't get over that. It's not steroids. It's not HGH. It's not that. I promise you. It's literally that it bothers me to this day that the throwing of the bat at Mike Piazza is just accepted like, well, he thought it was the ball. Like, I've heard people say that to me, and it's like, no, he thought it was the ball. He threw a freaking bat at our guy. So that one kills me. That one really, really kills me. I will give this advice before you watch. If you have not watched Game 7 of the 06 NLCS for our rewatch that we are posting this weekend, and we'll do a podcast breaking that whole game down, I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to give you prep time for this. In the top of the ninth inning, after Yadi Molina hits the home run, you may catch a young Evan Roberts. I may be there. Now, you may have seen a still shot from the past because I had it as my Twitter avatar for a while, but you may get to see the whole video. And so the game I want you to play, because I didn't know the answer, was when you find young Evan Roberts, if you do, what Met jersey was I wearing? Now, you got to find it. All right, so I'll put the link out on YouTube. In fact, we'll put the link out on the pod too. I think it's probably a good idea for when we do the rewatch of Game 7 of the 2006 NLCS. But in that ninth inning, I'm not going to tell you when, but in that ninth inning, after the pain really, really hits, Fox decided to show every fan in that stadium, including myself. I was just some schmuck sitting there, and I am sitting there with very long sideburns and very red hair. And I'm wearing a Met jersey. But the question is, what Met jersey am I wearing? The first person to email the correct answer to the RicoB@gmail.com. Or, you know what? Make it better. This will make Pete really happy as a podcast guy. The first person to answer it correctly in the comments section of when you download the podcast. First person. I think I'll give you tickets to one of my seats for Met game this year. I think I'll do that. So starting right now, and it's not email. I just changed my mind. The first person to correctly identify it in the comments section, wherever you download Eurico Brugna correctly, I'll be correct. And you got to watch it, man, because I don't think anyone's going to get it by guessing. I got to be honest with you. I think I will find a mutually agreed upon game, and I'll give you tickets, my seats, Citi Field. That seems like a good deal, right, Pete? You like that deal?
I think it's great. It's just not the Mets-Yankees game.
And it's not Doc or Darryl's retirement right, ceremony. Yeah.
Hey, sorry. they just put out the promos. Is it going to be what nights? What were the special nights? I saw there was like four firework nights. There was a football jersey. No, not the football jersey. They got a football jersey.
Yeah, night. They've got a lot of different jerseys. I think I've even written it down on my. Okay, you want me to tell you the list? I got it right.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So Monday, April 1st is rugby shirt night against the Tigers. Sunday, April 14th is the Doc retirement ceremony, which I know a lot of people are like, really? You're doing this on a Sunday in April when the weather's going to be terrible? But that's what they're doing. They're giving away a Hogwarts scarf, which is, I think, a Harry Potter thing, right, Pete?
That's a Harry Potter thing? I think so. I've never watched it, but yeah, it sounds about right.
A Mr. Met bobblehead in May against the Braves. A firework night in May against Arizona, the Darryl retirement ceremony on a Saturday against Arizona, a Hawaiian shirt on a Saturday against the Padres, fireworks night on a Friday against the Astros, a basketball jersey on Sunday against the Astros, a soccer jersey on a Tuesday against the Nats, a Brandon Nimmo bobblehead on a Friday against the Rockies, a bucket hat on a Saturday against the Rockies. How about this? How about this one? A pickleball paddle.
Oh, how about that?
On a Thursday against the Braves. fireworks night against the Braves, a Lindor bobblehead, a football jersey against the Marlins. Those are the ones I wrote down. That's what I got. And I think we talked about this on a previous Rico, so this is not new news if you're a diehard Rico listener, but the Mets brought attention to it recently that their Saturday games are all going to be early in the season. The Saturday games are at 1:40, and then later in the season, by May or so, they moved to 4 o'clock. And they did that because they put out a survey. And I think I remember talking about the survey they sent out to season ticket holders where they said start times that you prefer. And for weeknight games, they gave you like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8:30. I'm like, 8:30? That's crazy. Though I did just go to a basketball game that started at 8:30, so I guess it happens. But apparently a lot of people wanted those early Saturday games. I know we're all different. We're all different human beings, and we have different lifestyles, and some have kids and some don't have kids. I thought Saturday afternoon is a tough time to take your kid to the game because a lot of kids do activities. They do baseball. They do soccer. They do whatever it is. Like, I always found Saturday night to be easier. I know it's nighttime, but I found that always to be easier to take, especially my oldest, to a Met game. But I guess I'm in the minority because most people voted upon that little survey to have the games in the afternoon. I find them, I got to tell you, Pete, I find them more difficult to go to with kids specifically. I mean,
I agree. And so you have to make a choice on the weekend. Like, what is the plan of action? Because again, like all the activities and then to go to a game, you're tired by that point. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but here's the thing is the day part, it's like, that is the event for the day.
Right. That is true.
To do.
Yeah, that's true. It's look, one thing about start times, it's all about your lifestyle. It's all about what you're doing, and everybody's different. So I can't tell you there's no right answer to it. And my answer today is far different than maybe it was 10 years ago, just because I'm in a different place. Like selfishly with those weeknight games, I want them to start as late as possible. Why? Because I work until 6:30. Yeah. And so if you're out there and you work till 7, you'd probably be like, yeah, start those games late. I don't want them starting early. So it's all a difference of opinion. But man, I can't tell you how excited I am for spring training. You know, as much as we crap on the moves and are anxious about a move that we hope they make that they probably won't make, the fact that spring training is a few weeks away is a very, very exciting thing. And when it starts, we'll be all over it. We'll be covering spring training. We'll be breaking stuff down. We'll be Ricoing all over the place. There'll be so many Ricos, you won't even know what to do with it. But your homework assignment, ladies and gentlemen, is that our very next Rico Bronya, barring breaking news, because we always jump in with that, will be our big rewatch, Game 7 of the 2006 National League Championship Series. I look forward to talking to it with everybody.